Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Ghostwriter's Gambit, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: The Devil's Advance. The subway stank of burnt brakes and desperation. I pressed my forehead against the grimy window, watching the flicker of tunnel lights smear like cheap mascara. My phone buzzed again, another voicemail from the landlord. "Final notice, Miss Cole. You've got 48 hours. I deleted it. Again. The eviction threats had started blending into the white noise of my life, like the rattle of the train tracks or the homeless man coughing blood into his fist two seats down. I wasn't always this broke. 5 years ago, I'd been shortlisted for a Pulitzer, back when investigative journalism still paid enough to afford a studio apartment in Brooklyn and a cat with a chronic pancreas. But print media died and I sold out. Ghostwriting became my oxygen. Politicians, tech brothers, influencers, I'd turned their slurred late-night rants into best-selling memoirs. I was good at it. Too good. I could stitch together a redemption arc from a pile of DUIs and tax fraud. I called it narrative alchemy. My therapist called it moral necrosis. But tonight, the gig was different. Elias Voss wasn't some C-list celebrity or a congressman sweating through a midlife crisis. He was a self-made billionaire with a reputation dirtier than the Hudson. The kind of guy who bought islands just to rename them after himself. His assistant had reached out through an encrypted email, offering triple my usual rate. "Mr. Voss requires discretion," the message read, "and a strong stomach." The elevator to his office was all glass and silent judgment, climbing the spine of his Manhattan skyscraper. My reflection glared back at me, faded leather jacket, dark circles, hair that hadn't seen a brush since the Clinton administration. I looked like a raccoon that had fought a photocopier and lost. The elevator dinged. "Penthouse. Access restricted." His office was a monument to sterile excess. White marble floors, walls of bulletproof glass, a desk carved from a single slab of obsidian. No family photos. No art. Just a framed Forbes cover, Voss smirking under the headline, "The King of Hostile Takeovers." He stood by the window, backlit by the city's neon vanes, a tumbler of bourbon dangling from his fingers. Elias Voss was taller in person, all sharp edges and calculated stillness. Mid-50s, but his face had the ageless cruelty of a Roman emperor. His suit probably cost more than my student loans. "You're late," he said, not turning around. "Your security team cavity searched me twice. They found ambition and a nicotine habit." He laughed, a dry, humorless sound. "Sit." I dropped into the chair across from his desk. It was colder than a coroner's slab. He finally turned, his eyes scanning me like a barcode. Gray irises, the color of a winter sky right before a storm. "You wrote Cracked Foundations," he said. "The memoir for that union-busting prick in Detroit. You read it? I lived it." He slid a folder across the desk. Inside, photos of a factory collapse in Bangladesh, headlines about offshore accounts, a subpoena stamped classified. "You made him sound like a fucking hero. That's the job. Is it?" He leaned forward, the bourbon swirling in his glass like liquid amber. "I don't want a hero, Ms. Cole. I want a villain. I want my enemies to read this book and feel their balls shrivel. I want interns to weep in bathroom stalls. Can you do that?" I glanced at the subpoena. "United States versus Voss Holdings LLC. Depends. You looking for fiction or nonfiction?" His smile was a scalpel. "All the best lies are half-truths." The interview lasted 3 hours. He talked in vignettes, each one more grotesque than the last. How he'd bankrupted his father's farm to fund his first venture. The accidental fire at a competitor's warehouse. A senator's career torpedoed by a leaked sex tape. "Allegedly," he'd add with a wink, as if we were sharing a private joke. I took notes, my pen trembling. Not from fear, from rage. The kind that starts in your molars and works its way into your fists. But I kept my mouth shut. My cat, Gatsby, needed insulin. My fridge needed food that didn't come in a microwavable sleeve. Chapter 4, Voss said, refilling his glass. That's where we'll talk about the wives. How many have there been? 3. The first one ran off. Second one overdosed. Third one's currently contesting the prenup. He shrugged. Love's a liability. I scribbled narcissistic undertones in the margin. He paused, studying me. You're not like the others. The others? The writers. They usually vomit or cry by now. I've ghostwritten for a war criminal who used his memoir to justify ethnic cleansing. You're not special. He grinned, teeth gleaming. Good. Then you'll understand this. He tossed me a flash drive. On it, a single folder, Project Phoenix. Read it. Let it haunt you. Then write me a goddamn masterpiece. Back in my apartment, a shoebox with water stains shaped like Florida, I plugged in the drive. Gatsby hopped onto my desk, knocking over an empty bottle of Adderall. The folder contained blueprints, contracts, emails. A project to build agricultural infrastructure in Guatemala. But the numbers didn't add up. The budgets were inflated, the environmental reports forged. And then I saw it. A chemical formula for a pesticide called VX-29, banned in 36 countries, linked to stillbirths. A knock at the door. I jumped, heart jackhammering. The peephole showed a deliver man holding a package. Ms. Cole? Express delivery. I opened the door. The box was small, black, no return address. Inside, a bottle of bourbon, the same brand Voss drank, and a note. A gift. To wet the pen. Evie. Underneath the bottle, buried in foam peanuts, was a bullet. The bourbon tasted like gasoline. I drank it anyway. By dawn, I'd written the first chapter. A symphony of ego and exploitation. I sent it to Voss, my fingers shaking. His reply came in seconds. Perfect. Keep going. Gatsby purred in my lap. Outside, the city growled. Somewhere, a siren wailed. I should have burned the flash drive. Should have flushed the bullet down the toilet. But I didn't. Because the truth is, when you've been starving long enough, even poison tastes like food. Chapter 2, The Poison in the Ink. The bourbon kept coming. A fresh bottle arrived every Monday, wrapped in black tissue paper. The bullet tucked inside like a twisted cherry on a sundae. I lined them up on my windowsill. 6 gleaming glass soldiers, their amber contents catching the neon glare of the bodega sign across the street. Gatsby batted at the crumpled notes Voss sent with them, each one more ominous than the last. Chapter 5 needs teeth. Dig deeper. The public loves a monster. Make them worship mine. Don't disappoint me. I drank. I wrote. The manuscript metastasized. Voss demanded weekly meetings in his glass coffin of an office. He'd pace as I read drafts aloud, his shadow slithering over the walls. In business, sentimentality is a noose, I recited, my voice flat. You either cut the rope or hang with the dead. He paused, tilting his head like a wolf hearing a fawn's heartbeat. Too poetic. Make it nasty. I want readers to taste copper when they read that line. I scribbled a note. Add anecdote about union strike breaking? Better. He leaned over my shoulder, his cologne, vetiver and something faintly chemical, making my sinuses burn. Tell me, Ms. Cole. You ever kill anyone? The question hung in the air, a spider on a thread. I'm a writer. We assassinate characters, not people. He chuckled, circling the desk. See, that's your problem. You still think there's a difference. He tossed a file at me. Inside, crime scene photos of a man face down in a marina, his suit bloated with seawater. Thomas Green. New York Times. Wrote a puff piece about my philanthropy last year. Then he got curious. What happened? He drowned. Voss smiled. Clumsy fucker. I stared at the photo. Green's wedding band glinted in the murk. Why show me this? Because Chapter 7 is about leverage. He poured 2 fingers of bourbon, sipped it slow. And you need to understand what happens to people who disappoint me. That night I dreamt of drowning. The manuscript became a living thing, a feral dog I fed with my own hands. Voss's voice infected my sleep. Ethics are for people who can't afford mirrors, he'd sneer in my ear as I typed. You're not a journalist anymore. You're a fucking taxidermist. Now stuff me and make it pretty. I dug into his past, unearthing rot. His first wife, Lila, a faded beauty queen he'd met at a Nevada oil auction, vanished 6 months after their wedding. No police report. No missing persons case. Just a $10 million deposit into a private investigator's account and a footnote in Voss's tax returns. Miscellaneous expenses. His second wife, Sophia, lasted longer. 3 years, 2 kids, 1 fatal skiing accident in Aspen. The tabloids ate it up. Tragedy strikes billionaire philanthropist. I found the autopsy report buried in a subpoena. Her blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit. and her ski boots? Their bindings had been tampered with. She was a lush, Voss said when I asked. And a shit mother. The kids are better off. They're with your ex? Boarding school in Switzerland. Cheaper than a nanny. I wrote it all down. The more I unearthed, the more he fed me. Classified FDA reports about VX-29's unintended side effects. Emails between his lawyers and a Guatemalan official, negotiating hush money. A spreadsheet tracking the quarterly attrition rates in his factories, deaths labeled workplace accidents. But the deeper I went, the tighter the noose became. I started noticing the car. A black Escalade, tinted windows idling outside my apartment. When I took Gatsby to the vet, it followed. Three blocks back, patient as a vulture. Paranoia is a tax on the guilty, Voss said when I confronted him. You threatening me? I'm motivating you. He slid a check across the desk, $50,000, bonus for Chapter 8. Finish the book, Ms. Cole. Then you'll never have to see me again. The check smelled like him. Vetiver and lies. I cashed it. The nightmares got worse. Then came the night I found redacted. It was 2 a.m. Gatsby slept on my keyboard, purring through another insulin crash. I was combing through Voss's digital archives, a server so encrypted it made the Pentagon look like a post-it note, when I stumbled on the folder. No label. Just a crimson X over a string of numbers. Inside, blueprints for a compound in the Guatemalan highlands. Barbed wire. Guard towers. A lab labeled quarantine. And a list, 12 names, each with a photo, a bio, a date. The first was Thomas Green, the drowned reporter. The sixth was Sophia Voss. The 12th was mine. Lila Cole. Occupation, ghostwriter. Termination date, November 17th. Method. The cursor blinked. My coffee went cold. A sound, a creak in the hallway. I froze. My apartment door was triple locked, chained, wedged shut with a copy of War and Peace I'd never read. But the knob twitched. Gatsby hissed. I grabbed the bourbon bottle, smashed it against the desk. Glass shards glittered like teeth. I've got a gun. I lied, voice cracking. Silence. Then footsteps, heavy and deliberate, fading down the stairs. Voss answered on the first ring. You're working late. I found the list. A pause. I could hear ice clinking in his glass. Ah, Chapter 12. You're going to kill me. Kill you. He laughed. Ms. Cole, you're the best ghostwriter I've ever had. Why would I waste that? The date's my name. A contingency plan. In case you lost your nerve. His tone hardened. But you won't. Because you're in too deep. Because you're just like me. I'm nothing like you. Aren't you? He let the words hang. You drank my bourbon. You cashed my checks. You knew what I was from the start, and you kept going. So don't play martyr now. Finish the book. The line went dead. I didn't sleep. Didn't move. Just stared at the list until sunrise painted my screen pink. Then I did something stupid. I copied the files. Every photo, every email, every bloodstained spreadsheet. Dumped them onto a burner drive I kept taped under the toilet tank. For the first time in months, I prayed. The next morning, the Escalade was gone. But the manuscript still needed an ending. Chapter 3. The Hounds at the Door. The burner drive burned a hole in my pocket. It felt heavier than it should have, like it was made of lead instead of plastic. I kept one hand wrapped around it as I walked, my knuckles brushing the cold metal of the switchblade I'd bought at a pawn shop that morning. The blade was illegal in 3 states. So was the paranoia gnawing at my spine. Voss's voice still hissed in my ear, a ghost in the static of my skull. You're just like me. I wasn't. But the bourbon in my veins and the blood money in my bank account argued otherwise. The diner was a relic, cracked vinyl booths, coffee that tasted like motor oil, and a waitress named Darla who'd been working the graveyard shift since the Nixon administration. She didn't ask questions. That's why I'd chosen it. Jake was late. My ex. The Times reporter. The one who'd promised to love me until the ink dried. Turned out his loyalty had a shorter shelf life than a grocery store bouquet. But he owed me. I'd fed him leads for years, letting him take credit while I stayed in the shadows. Now it was time to cash in. He slid into the booth at 1:17 a.m., smelling like gin and guilt. His tie was crooked. Still handsome, still a bastard. You look like hell, Lila. You look like a subpoena. Thanks for coming. He flagged Darla for coffee. What's so urgent it can't wait for daylight? I dropped the burner drive on the table. Elias Voss is sterilizing villages in Guatemala, covering it up as philanthropy. This is proof. Jake stared at the drive like it was a live grenade. Why tell me? You're his ghostwriter. Was. He's got a kill list. I'm on it. So go to the police. He owns the police. I leaned forward, my breath fogging the greasy tabletop. This is Pulitzer shit, Jake. Front page, career making, history writing shit. But I need you to run it. Tomorrow. He sipped his coffee slow. Calculated. What's in it for you? A head start. The bell above the door jingled. Two men in suits walked in. Too clean for this neighborhood, too calm. Voss's hounds. Jake saw them. His face paled. You led them here. I didn't. He stood, tossing a $20 on the table. I can't help you. Jake! You're toxic, Lila. Always have been. He walked out, the drive still sitting there abandoned. The suits took his seat. The taller one had knuckles scarred from breaking things that didn't belong to him. The shorter one smiled like a mortician. Mr. Voss is concerned, scarred knuckles said. Says you've been distracted. I gripped the switchblade under the table. Tell him I'm almost done. Mortician's smile slid a phone across the table. A video played, security footage of my apartment. Gatsby batting at a toy mouse. Me sleeping. The camera angle, inside the fucking air vent. He wants to remind you, Mortician said, that loyalty is a two-way street. I'm loyal. The lie tasted like bile. Prove it. Scarred knuckles nodded at the drive. Hand it over. I lunged for the blade. They were faster. Mortician pinned my wrist to the table, his thumb digging into the tendon until I screamed. Scarred knuckles pocketed the drive. You're coming with us, he said. Boss wants a chat. The car smelled like chloroform and regret. They didn't blindfold me. Voss wanted me to see the city bleeding into industrial parks, then forests, then the skeletal outline of a private airstrip. A jet waited, engines whining. Inside, Richter sat polishing a Glock. Voss's attack dog. 6'4", biceps like cinder blocks, and a face that looked chiseled from quarry stone. Miss Cole. He grinned. You've been naughty. They cuffed me to a seat. Richter leaned close, his breath hot and meaty. Know what happens to dogs that bite their master? They get put down. He backhanded me. My head snapped against the window. They get trained. The jet took off. The compound rose from the Guatemalan jungle like a tumor. Concrete walls. Guard towers. A faded sign over the gate, Voss AG Solutions. Feeding the future. They dragged me past rows of metal sheds, the air thick with the sweet rot stench of VX-29. Workers in hazmat suits hosed down barrels, the runoff snaking into the soil. Voss waited in the lab, sleeves rolled up, examining a petri dish. Lila. He spread his arms like a proud father. Welcome to Ground Zero. I spat blood on the floor. Go to hell. Already here. He gestured to a microscope. Look. The slide showed a human cell cluster, shriveled and blackened. VX-29 doesn't just kill pests. It sterilizes everything. Crops, livestock, women. He smiled. Efficient, isn't it? You're exterminating them. Optimizing. These people are poor, hungry, and multiplying like roaches. I'm doing them a favor. Richter shoved me into a chair. Voss leaned down, his lips grazing my ear. You had one job. Write my story. Not yours. I won't help you hide this. You already have. He tapped the manuscript on the desk, chapter 12, my name in the footnotes. But since you insist on integrity. He nodded to Richter. They forced my hand onto the table. Voss uncapped a pen. Let's add an epilogue. The needle tip pierced my skin. I screamed. He carved a word into my palm, letter by letter, his grip vice tight. L-I-R. They locked me in a storage room reeking of chemicals. My hand throbbed, the blood sticky and warm. I tore a strip from my shirt, wrapped it tight. The room had no windows. No vents. Just a steel door and a flickering bulb. But there was a drain in the floor. Rusted grates. Narrow pipes. Too small for a person. But not for a cat. A calico crawled out, ribs visible, one eye milky with blindness. It mewed, nudging a ratty teddy bear toward me. The bear's seams were split. Inside, a key, a USB drive, and a note. Play dead. Wait for the hoses. M. The hoses came at dawn. Workers power washed the labs, flooding the drains. Water surged into the room, rising to my knees, my waist, my chest. I held my breath, sank under, and let the current drag me into the pipes. Chapter 4. Blood in the water. The pipe spat me into the river like a curse. I surfaced gasping, the jungle's humid breath clogging my lungs. My hand was still bleeding, the word liar carved into my palm now smeared into a Rorschach blot. The current dragged me downstream, past tangles of mangroves and the bloated carcass of a dog, its fur sloughing off in clumps. VX-29 runoff. Everything here was dying. I clawed my way onto a mud bank, vomiting bourbon and bile. The compound's lights glowed in the distance, a false sunrise. Voices barked in Spanish. Flashlight beams slashed through the trees. Run! But my legs wouldn't obey. My body had become a stranger, all tremors and white noise. A hand clamped over my mouth. Don't scream, a woman hissed. Mara. She looked like a ghost. Hair hacked short, face gaunt, her Voss Holdings blazer replaced with a scavenged poncho. A machete hung at her hip, rusted but sharp. You're late, she said, dragging me into the brush. Her camp was a cave behind a waterfall, the roar of water masking our voices. She stitched my hand with fishing line, and a needle sterilized in moonshine. No anesthesia. I bit down on a stick tasting rot. Voss branded you? She smirked. He gave me a tattoo. Property of EV. Classy, right? She rolled up her sleeve. The ink was faded but unmistakable. Why help me? I asked. Because you're the only one he's afraid of. She tossed me a canteen. The water smelled like iodine. That manuscript? It's not a memoir. It's a confession. He's using you to immortalize his sins. Thinks it'll make him a god. He's a fucking psychopath. Worse. He's a shareholder. She unrolled a map. Red X's marked villages Voss had sanitized. Blue lines showed pipelines funneling VX, 29 into rivers. He's expanding, she said. Next phase targets the capital. A public health initiative. The numbers punched me in the gut. 2 million people. Half of them women of childbearing age. We need proof, I said. Proof? She laughed, bitter. I've got a server room's worth. But it's trapped in the compound, and Richter's turned it into a fortress. We moved at dusk. Mara led me through the jungle, avoiding patrols with the precision of someone who'd mapped this hellscape in her nightmares. The air thickened with the cloying stench of VX-29. Trees wept sap like open sores. Don't touch the water, she warned as we forded a stream. A fish floated belly up, its scales pocked with lesions. How long have you been here? 18 months. Her voice flattened. I faked my death after I leaked the first set of files. Car crash. Closed casket. My kids think I'm... She trailed off. A howl echoed in the distance, not an animal. Human. Los Olvidados, Mara whispered. The Forgotten Ones. Workers Voss tossed when they got sick. Shapes emerged from the mist. Men, women, children, their skin mottled with chemical burns. A girl held out a doll with no eyes. Ayudanos, she croaked. Help us. Mara pressed a protein bar into her hand. We will. The compound's outer fence hummed with electricity. Mara disabled a camera with a slingshot and a rock. Old school beats Wi-Fi, she muttered. We crawled through a drainage tunnel. The walls were slick with algae, the air reeking of ammonia. My hand throbbed with every heartbeat. The server room was guarded by two mercs. Mara took the taller one, garroting him with piano wire. I jabbed the other in the carotid with my switchblade. His chokehold collapsed into a gurgle. Since when do ghostwriters know pressure points? Mara raised an eyebrow. Ex-boyfriend was a Marine. Lucky you. The servers blinked like malevolent eyes. Mara plugged in the burner drive. Downloading everything. 60 seconds. 45. The door exploded inward. Richter filled the doorway, his grin lit by muzzle flashes. Miss me, bitch? He fired. Mara tackled me behind a server rack. Bullets shredded motherboards, sparks raining down. Go! Mara shoved the drive into my hand. I'll hold him off. Like hell. You're the only one who can finish this. She lunged at Richter, her machete clashing against his Glock. I ran. The jungle swallowed me. Branches lashed my face. Voss's voice chased me, smug and venomous. You're just like me. I wasn't. But as I climbed a ridge, the compound burning behind me, I realized the truth. To kill a monster, you have to become something worse. Mara's scream cut through the night. I didn't look back. Chapter 5, The Judas Code. The files burned hotter than my infected hand. Mara's drive wasn't just evidence, it was a live wire. Spreadsheets of shell companies. Voice recordings of senators bartering silence for stock tips. And a ledger, cold as a coroner's report, tallying the cost-benefit analysis of human lives. Termination versus litigation. Cheaper to bury. But the real poison was in Folder 23, Operation Whitewash. A video opened with static, then Voss's face filled the screen. He wasn't alone. Phase 2 launches next month, he said, lighting a cigar. Once the sterilization's deniable, we pivot to humanitarian aid. Sell the antidote as a miracle drug. Triple the market price. The camera panned to his guest. My stomach dropped. Jake, my ex, the reporter, the man who'd walked out of the diner, now clinking glasses with the devil, his grin slick with complicity. The Times will spin it as a breakthrough, Jake said. But I want 15% of Pharma's sales. Voss chuckled. Greedy little cockroach. I like it. The timestamp, 6 days ago. I vomited into the gutter. Guatemala City swallowed me whole. A cacophony of honking tuk-tuks and street vendors hawking tortillas charred black as sin. I blended with the tourists, my hoodie slick with rain and river mud. The drive was duct-taped to my ribs. Mara's blood had dried under my nails. The safe house was a crypt. A crumbling hostel called El Refugio, where the Wi-Fi was as reliable as a meth head's pulse. The clerk didn't ask for ID, just $20 and a hit of my Adderall. Room 4B smelled like mold and dead dreams. I barricaded the door with a dresser and scrubbed my hand raw in the sink. The word liar wouldn't bleed away. I needed a way out. A journalist not on Voss's payroll. A whistleblower org. A fucking priest. The drive had one last secret, a contact. Encrypted chat logs between Mara and someone named RS. Mara, if you're reading this, I'm dead. Find RS. He can help. RS, Callahan de las Sombras. Midnight. Come alone. The address was a knife shop in the red light district. Of course it was. Rain fell like needles. The alley reeked of urine and fried plantains. Neon brothel signs bathed the puddles in pink. I counted shadows. 4 junkies. 2 sex workers. 1 man in a Panama hat watching from a doorway. He stepped into the light. Mid-50s, salt and cocaine stubble, a scar bisecting his left eyebrow. He looked like a retired cartel accountant. La gringa, he said. I'm here for RS. You're late. He spat. And you stink of Voss. He led me upstairs to a room above a strip club. The walls were papered in surveillance photos, Voss shaking hands with generals, Richter dumping bodies into a quarry, Jake snorting lines off a call girl's thigh. Rafael Salazar. He poured tequila into a dirty glass. Former head of security. Voss's paro until he had my daughter killed for asking too many questions. I flinched. I'm sorry. Save it. He slammed a laptop on the table. You want to burn him? Do it right. Leak the files and the encryption keys. No redactions. No heroes. Let the world see the maggots. I hesitated. There's a video. Of my ex. He's. Complicit? Rafael laughed. You think you're the first woman Voss turned against herself? His whole empire runs on betrayal. Now upload it. The Wi-Fi connected. I dragged the files into the void. 45% uploaded. Boots pounded up the stairs. Richter kicked the door off its hinges. Oops. Rafael drew a .38 from his waistband. Guess I'm not retired after all. The firefight was a blur. Muzzle flashes. Plaster exploding. Richter's goon took a bullet to the throat and gargled his last prayer. Go. Rafael tossed me a flash drive. The real files. Now run. I dove out the window into a dumpster. Rotting lettuce and rat carcasses cushioned the fall. Above, Rafael screamed, a wet, visceral sound cut short by a gunshot. Run. 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 The city became a funhouse mirror. Every face was Jake's. Every car a black Escalade. I ducked into a Mercado, losing myself in the labyrinth of chili stalls and counterfeit Jordans. An old woman sold me a Rebozo, the floral fabric hiding my bloodstained hoodie. The flash drive felt like a brick. Rafael's last gift. I plugged it into a stolen phone at an internet cafe. Folder, legacy. Photos of a teenage girl. Rosa Salazar. Honors student. Shot execution style outside her school. A memo from Voss. Dispose of the body. Charge the family for cleanup. And a video. This one made me freeze. Voss, younger but just as vile, standing over a hospital bed. The patient, my mother. Stage 4 pancreatic, the doctor said. How much for the experimental drug? Voss asked. $300,000. She's worth half that. He glanced at me, a 6-year-old clutching a teddy bear, and smirked. Let's say $50,000. For the kid's future. The screen went dark. My mother died 2 weeks later. The phone shattered against the wall. All those years. All those lies. Voss hadn't just killed her. He'd bought her death. And I'd spent a decade writing his fanfiction. The Mercado erupted in screams. They'd found me. Richter's goons flanked the exits. Civilians fled, overturning carts of mangoes and knockoff purses. I grabbed a cleaver from a meat stall and ran. A bullet grazed my ear. Not like this. Not before I kill him. I ducked into a butcher's freezer, the cold searing my lungs. The door locked behind me. Darkness. Then a voice on the intercom. You're out of time, Ms. Cole. Boss. But let's make a deal, he purred. The files for your ex Jake's waiting. A monitor flickered on. Jake sat bound to a chair, his face a pulp of bruises. Lila, he sobbed. I didn't know, I swear. Voss pressed a gun to his temple. Tick-tock. Chapter 6, The Last Word. The freezer's cold gnawed through my bones, my breath fogging the air like ghostly confession. On the monitor, Jake's swollen face contorted in terror, Voss's gun steady against his temple. My mother's face flashed in the static, her final days, her hollow eyes, the way she'd whispered be brave, before the morphine stole her voice. Voss's smirk filled the screen. Choose, Miss Cole. The files or the fool? I stared at the flash drive in my fist, Raphael's blood still crusted under my nails. Jake whimpered, snot and tears gluing his lips shut. He betrayed you, I reminded myself. He sold millions of lives for a pharma kickback. But the boy I'd loved once, the one who'd brought me coffee during all-nighters, who'd held me when the Pulitzer fell through. That Jake still lived in the tremble of his chin. Let him go, I said. Voss arched an eyebrow. Do I look like a priest? The drive hovered over the laptop's USB port. One click, and the world would burn him alive. Jake's good I met mine. Lila, please. I plugged it in. Voss's laugh died as the screen split. Dozens of windows erupting like pustules. The Times homepage. WikiLeaks. Social feeds. The files metastasized, unstoppable. You bitch. He pistol-whipped Jake, then aimed at the camera. Richter. Flood the. The monitor exploded in sparks. Alarms wailed. The freezer door shuddered, hydraulics failing. I kicked it, once, twice, the metal groaning. Cold air rushed in, carrying the stench of burning plastic and panic. I ran toward the noise. The Mercado was a war zone. Stall owners fled as Richter's men fired wildly, their bullets shredding piñatas and prayer candles. A mother dragged her child under a butcher's table, their screams swallowed by gunfire. I ducked behind a chili cart, the drive burning in my pocket. Voss's voice boomed from a looted PA system. Bring me her tongue, and I'll double your pay. A mercenary lunged. I grabbed a fistful of dried habaneros and ground them into his eyes. He howled, clawing at his face. I took his gun. 3 bullets left. Enough. The Voss Pharma building loomed, a glass dagger stabbing the sky. The lobby was deserted, elevators frozen. I took the stairs, each step echoing my heartbeat. Penthouse lights bled under the door. I kicked it open. Voss stood at the window, bourbon in hand, the city sprawled below like a corpse. Richter lay motionless by the bar, a letter opener jutting from his throat. Took you long enough, Voss said. The manuscript sat on his desk, chapter 12 glaring up at me. How to bury a whistleblower. My name bled red in the footnotes. They'll hang you with this, I said. They'll print it. Tragedy sells, Miss Cole. A disgraced writer framing her client? Delicious. I aimed the gun. You killed my mother. He sipped his drink. She was already dead. I just monetized it. The bullet took his shoulder. He staggered, laughing. That all you've got? I fired again. Missed. He charged. We crashed through the window. The city spun, skyline, stars, streets rushing up. The balcony railing caught us, my ribs cracking against the steel. Voss dangled over the void, his grip slick on my wrist. Pull me up, he hissed. Wind screamed. Blood dripped from his shattered shoulder, painting the glass below. Why? I whispered. Because you're not a killer. I pried his fingers loose, one by one. I'm better, I said. He fell silent. Then a smile. See you in hell. His hand slipped. The sidewalk swallowed him whole. Police found me on the roof, the manuscript in my lap. I'd crossed out every lie, inked the margins with proof. When they cuffed me, I didn't fight. The trial lasted 6 days. The jury deliberated for 6 minutes. Not guilty. Turns out, the world loves a dead billionaire. The memoir's a bestseller now. I kept one copy. On the title page, under Elias Voss's name, I wrote, ghostwritten by his killer. Sometimes, when the nightmares come, Richter's hands, Mara's scream, Jake's hollow stare, I pour 2 glasses. 1 bourbon. 1 gasoline. I light a match. The Guatemalan girl sends letters. Her sister's in college now, studying environmental law. Last photo showed them laughing in a field, the chemical graves blooming wildflowers. I don't write back, but I keep the flowers pressed between the pages.